What's up and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with hosts Tyler Gunther, John Bosch, Doug Eddy to bring us all inside the huddle. Whether it's in season or off season, this is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty Fantasy football advice. So let's not waste any more time and get right into it with Tyler, John, and Doug with another Dynasty Happy Hour.
Hey everybody and welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour. This is Tyler you are hearing, not Doug, because Doug, why don't you give everyone a listen of how you are speaking today?
Yeah, my voice is in host mode today. I've been sick the last couple days with a sore throat and I'm toughing it out. I'm here for you guys, but I'm not hosting, but I'll still be here with some takiness and to give you my insight on this week.
Yeah, so he will be giving more of his five takes and I will just be adding on to them. And also giving his hot takes is John Bosch coming back again. I mean, doing a great job. We've gotten tons of compliments of John. We had a comment on Podbean itself saying John has been a great addition. So John, hearing that, how excited are you being on?
Oh, I'm super excited. I'm glad you saw what I wrote on Podbean. That's great.
I knew it. I absolutely knew it.
Yeah. I honestly don't have Podbean, so. But I'm sure I'll track down somebody and have to send a check out, I guess.
Yes, and speaking of Podbean and all the podcast stuff, we are officially switched to the Dynasty Happy Hour feed. So if you are hearing this, you are hearing the right feed. You are in the right spot. And if you're not hearing this, and if you've been trying to search for this, it is at Dynasty Happy Hour, the original feed that we've had. So if you are listening to this and you have friends that actually listen to us, go tell them and say, hey, did you hear Dynasty Happy Hour is officially just Dynasty Happy Hour again? And they'll be like, yes, of course. I'm so excited to hear that because, because I have been waiting for them just to go back to Dynasty Happy Hour. And yes, there will be a site again. Dynasty Happy Hour will be purely Dynasty. We'll have some writers back. Some are out writing other articles, which congratulations to them. I know the Fantasy Authority has some. I know that Doug, the Fantasy Gurus, have a couple or one. Well, I can't remember who, but I know there are some writers for them.
We had Zach join us.
Zach, yep. And he's pushing out great content for them. So good for them. Happy for all you guys. But we will be back to full Dynasty Happy Hour. No more Fantasy Huddle. We tried that. That was a fail, I'll admit. But Dynasty Happy Hour is going in full. So how about, guys, we get right into this whole entire week 12. It was interesting. But first, I want to tell you guys about Sit or Start app. It is the app you need to own for your playoff push. Just type in a couple players' names. Say it's Emmanuel Sanders or Isaiah Crowell going into the week 13 huge games, and say that you are trying to decide between those two in the flex. It will tell you the right decision. It's a great app to have for this playoff push. Go get it. Sitorstart.net. Type in DHH, and you know it's worth it. It's got everything, player news. You know, like I said, you can compare two players, but go off, get that app. I'm actually meeting the owner of the app this Saturday at Union 32 in Minneapolis. If you want to join us there and talk to the owner of the app, maybe he could hook you up. I don't know, Doug.
Drinks on Jason.
Yeah. Drinks and app on Jason. All right. Nice. Let's get into these injuries, boys. Paxton Lynch in. He's out. Ankle injury. Are you guys buying him for Superflex? John, I know you're playing a lot of Superflex. Are you looking forward to the future of Paxton Lynch?
No. Somebody did ask earlier if he's cuttable. I still don't think he's cuttable in Superflex, but I'm of the mindset that I just don't really cut quarterbacks in Superflex just because you never know when they're going to get back to being a starter, like Trevor Siemian. All of a sudden, he's back. Thank God. The best Broncos quarterback, best of the bad bunch, but I'm glad to have him back. Paxton Lynch, if I see somebody cut him, I will pick him up as fast as I can. But I mean, I'm not super thrilled if I made any investment in him at all.
Doug, how about you? Are you interested in Paxton Lynch and his future?
Not particularly. I'm actually more interested in Chad Kelly.
Ooh, me too.
To be completely honest. Yeah. I mean, Paxton Lynch, if I had him, like John said, I wouldn't cut him because you never know when quarterbacks like a Blaine Gabbert come out of nowhere and you have them stashed in your Superflex league and then all of a sudden they're usable during the season because we've seen an influx of quarterback injuries this year. So guys like C.J. Beathard, who we're going to talk about in a minute, and players like that, Jimmy Garoppolo, who was just a stash for you because he was behind Tom Brady. There's always a reason to keep some quarterback depth on your roster, and I think he's okay for that, but I wouldn't plan on him lands on any of my teams.
Yeah, and if he loses his job in Denver, I mean, with Tampa Bay possibly clearing out their coaching staff, they could be looking for a new mascot.
Oh, the swash put him right on the side of the old school helmet.
I think that is a good possibility, Paxton. If you're listening, yeah, I'd go talk to them. Now, you mentioned CJ Beathard. He had a knee injury, and he said he thinks he avoided ligament issues. So apparently CJ Beathard has a PhD, so he can kind of identify these issues himself. But we're not going to go with his advice. Do you think Garoppolo will be the starter from now on, Doug?
Absolutely. I mean, he came in, he threw a touchdown pass in relief. He was 2 of 2 with a touchdown pass. Garoppolo's the future. There was news this week that they're going to franchise him. I know they were trying to work a deal with him, and obviously they haven't been able to do that. They're going to franchise this guy next year. I think, why wouldn't you start him now? They're past the Seattle Seahawks, which I think was the threshold where they were like, you know what, let's get Beathard past this game. And once the schedule eases up a little bit, because they don't want to get Garoppolo killed out there, which is, you know, a smart move. I think starting next week, Garoppolo finishes off the season as the starter. No issues.
John, do you have any other comments on Garoppolo, or do you agree?
Yeah, I agree. I think they definitely go over to him. Now, they have upcoming, they have the Bears, Texans, Titans. That'd be a nice little way to start into, you know, the Jimmy Garoppolo era and test him out, see if he is going to be worth a franchise tag. I've never thought that they were going to be able to try and franchise him without playing him. Like, this is the perfect time now. Might as well go ahead and do it. So I think CJ Beathard, Beathard, however you want to say it. You know, he was a temporary little stopgap until they get to some guy that they actually want to have back there throwing the ball for them. So,
yeah, that,
we're going to see if it's Jimmy G.
That Texans and Titans game. So if you're in a super flex league and, yeah, I mean, Garoppolo is definitely startable those 2 weeks. I mean, those are two god-awful secondaries. Garoppolo could be a sneaky league winner for some people in Superflex leagues.
I completely agree. And if you don't have a trade deadline and trading's still open, I think this might be the last chance to actually go out and get him, because I do think he will put up some decent stats enough to push him into the territory where you have to give up a first or more in a Superflex. So if you could, go out and get him right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if he's a league winner just because week 16, they have the Jags. So
hell, he can at least hopefully get you to the championship game.
He can get you there. I know Blaine Gabbert, you know, he was amazing today. But
hey, revenge game.
The future of Arizona.
No, please God, no. Oh man. No. I'm still afraid to play players against the Jags.
Now, our next injury, we're going to double up. Amari Cooper and Doug Martin, you never thought those two would be double up in the same conversation, but they have the same injury, so that makes them the same player, right? No, wrong. They have concussions. Now, Amari Cooper, he went out after Michael Crabtree let himself out after that huge brawl, which was awesome because my daughter and I were watching that, and my daughter was getting into it. No, he should not be doing that. That's not nice. Come on now. You shouldn't be hit. It was the best moment I've had on a Sunday with my daughter ever. It was awesome. But going back to Cooper and Martin, Martin, are you guys kind of done with him so we can kind of just throw him off to the side?
I was done with him. He was one of my takes last week that Doug Martin is trash can, and Doug Martin is still said trash can.
Just a dented one.
Yeah, he's like a WWE after a Hell in a Cell, like extreme match trash can. That's Doug Martin. He's just dinged to shit, and you can't even put anything in it. It's so bad.
Man, where's JR?
Oh, he killed him. That's an absolute slobber knocker.
Yeah, Doug Martin, we'll just kind of push him off to the side and talk about Amari Cooper. Now, John, Do you have any takes with Amari? I know he caught a touchdown before this. What's your take on him through this whole kind of down season?
Oh, I'm still an Amari truther. I love him. So I know, yeah, maybe he hasn't had a great year. That's okay. I would still take Amari Cooper over a lot of wide receivers. So that doesn't bother me. I don't like a concussion, but he got drilled pretty hard. The worry that I have is that, man, Derek Carr led him right into that hit. So I don't like it when quarterbacks do that. Yeah, it was a hospital. It was a hospital.
He was playing well himself, Derek Carr. So, I mean, it's not just Cooper.
Yeah, I'm not somebody that's selling Amari Cooper, especially at his price. I will buy all day at the price he is now. I still can't get him, though. Nobody will sell him. I hear these deals, you know, about people getting him cheap. And anytime I ask, and people are like, no, he's not that cheap. I'm like, yeah, you're right. He's not.
Now we'll move on to another player that was in and out, Greg Olsen. We all were excited about his return.
Oh, sigh.
He gets a catch for 10 yards and disappears. Now, my concern is it's the same foot, because this injury, usually after the first surgery, they have to have a second to kind of get rid of that pain. You know, Sammy, Dez, Julio, they all had the second surgery. I think Edelman had the second. I'm worried about Greg Olsen, and I don't think he's back for the rest of the year. John, what do you think about this injury?
Yeah, it's disappointing. I took him off of an IR this morning and immediately put him in my starting lineup, you know, thinking finally he's back. He's going to be able to help me now. And, you know, honestly, it's just a shame. I kind of wish the Panthers actually would have just left him be out, let him get fully healed. I hate when guys come back too early, and on their offense has actually looked different without him. You know, they've kind of found their way, it seemed, the last couple of weeks.
Funches. Oh,
no, I'm talking McCaffrey. When they, you know, I'd rather see McCaffrey and Cam just running. You know, I like seeing Cam on the run. And I don't know, maybe if Olsen would have been back, maybe they would have been thrown to him a little more often. But I, at this point, let him be done for the season. Focus on McCaffrey and Cam down the stretch.
Yeah, as soon as Olsen's back, you know, Cam said, I get my dog back. Just wait till I get my dog back. Well, that dog is back in the kennel. So that is sad to see.
And his other dog moved to Buffalo.
Yeah, that's a big dog.
Yeah.
Now we'll move on to Damian Williams. Doug, he went out with a shoulder injury. He was carted off, you know, with his shoulder. So I'm not quite sure how the body works, but I'm pretty sure you could walk with an injury with that. So it must have been significant. Talk to me a little bit about this injury.
Yeah, so I mean, that's definitely like a team soft move if you're carted off with an arm injury.
Team soft.
Yeah, so he went out, I think it was in the third quarter of the Patriots game. He actually looked really, really good in this game. I watched the majority of the Pats game today. He looked really, really good. So this obviously opens up the lanes for Kenyon Drake, who I like to call the marathon rapper. That's my nickname for Kenyon Drake.
Wow.
So I think this is big. If Williams is going to miss time, they don't really have anything else other than Drake, so he could be getting the bulk of the carries, and he's been pretty effective. He scored a touchdown in this one and looked pretty good overall against a good Patriots defense.
Yeah, Sonoris Perry went out as well, and I want to say, who's the rookie from Michigan that they had on their taxi or their practice squad who kind of was a Senior Bowl hyped guy? You know, he was a big recruit, something Green maybe, the name's escaping me, but I know Sonoris Perry got hurt, who was the other running back. So literally it's only Drake who is there. Now we will go on to the guy I told you guys all to buy last week, and that is Mike Williams. He has a knee bruise and it looks like he escaped major injury, and I just think this is still a major buy opportunity on a guy that was a top 10 draft pick, who looks to be on an ascending offense, who hopefully Phillip Rivers will stay in Los Angeles for a little bit longer. But man, the talent is there. The playing time was getting larger and larger. The role was huge. Mike Williams, I hope he's better. But John, are you on the same page with me?
You know, for the price, I'll buy anybody. I'm not necessarily like going out seeking Mike Williams. if somebody says they're looking to sell him and I get a good price, I would buy him, but he's not somebody I'm necessarily going out to buy. I don't have a lot of him. I think I have, I don't know, one or two shares on all of my teams, which is a lot. And I'm not sold on him. I wasn't sold on him during the rookie draft season, and bad rookie years filled with injuries scare me. So those are guys that I just always, and I end up just trying to avoid.
Recent young receivers I try to avoid. Like, it's been pretty bad this last few years. Let's be completely honest.
Josh Doctson is probably the only real hope we've had. And Funchess. I mean, Funchess has kind of recouped his value, and, you know, he's a wide receiver one right now. Low end wide receiver two, or high end wide receiver two. Yeah. Low end wide receiver one at the moment. So, I mean, we're kind of seeing the trend switch back to maybe it takes 3 years, but yeah, players like Devonta Parker kind of shine, then they fade. So it's very hard to hit on these rookies if they don't hit right away. And I mean, we're in a society where we want it now. We want our production now.
Instant gratification.
Yep.
Yep. I mean, if he gets shut down for the year, I bet his price during the rookie draft season is unbelievably cheap. And that's the point where I'll try and buy him.
Like a mid to late second or lower than that?
Oh, yeah.
I can't imagine a late second. That would be unreal.
In the rookie draft, if a player drops that they like, I could see that.
Yeah, I would probably give next year, you know, during the rookie draft, if it's early in the second, and and I'm on the clock, and there's a guy that I'm, you know, that guy that you feel you have to take, but it's not a guy that I want.
Sure.
I would probably see if somebody else would be willing to give up Mike Williams. That's probably where I would start targeting him next year, rookie draft, you know, if he's out for the rest of this season. I think people might be willing to write him off at that price next year. So John that's Ross when I would too. Go buy him.
Yeah, John Ross. And I would have to say a lot of injury players like Allen Robinson, Dalvin Cook, Odell Beckham. Surprisingly, I think during the rookie draft is when you could probably get him for a decent price. Because, I mean, people forget. They get that rookie hype. Boom.
People aren't going to forget Odell Beckham.
They get upset about a personal player that they put a lot of stock in that doesn't perform or gets hurt, and they get frustrated. And they want to mix it up or whatever.
Yeah, they see
they
that
wanna get
shiny
too, people want to get too cute.
Yeah, they want to see that shiny new piece, like that rookie. Oh my God, I could get Darius Geis at 103 if I just trade Beckham.
Ugh. Ooh. No, I don't see that. No way.
there's some players, and his name's Tyler. Just kidding, because I would do the complete opposite. I have learned. I used to be that guy, but people like John and Doug have taught me.
Yes.
Damn it.
All right, you guys, how about we get into the breakdowns? That is it for injuries. So we'll get into the juicy stuff, you know, the meat and potatoes of the episode, which is...
And some stuffing.
Oh, yeah. By the way, how was your guys' Thanksgiving? Let's touch on that.
My Thanksgiving was phenomenal. Football game on Thursday morning with about 15 friends. So I was pretty sore because I fell down the stairs a couple days beforehand.
Wait, hold on. Let's go back to that story. How did you fall down?
So I put on a pair of brand new socks.
Ooh,
I'm getting my son ready to go to preschool. I put on new socks. I start heading down the stairs. He's on the side of the stairs. I'm like, Lincoln, move over. He's like, okay. So I start to go down the stairs. I slip. So wood stairs, new socks, bad combo. I slipped and fell on my hip and then went two-thirds of the way down the stairs and whacked my shin and the arch of my foot on a stair. I didn't break anything of me or the stairway, so I didn't have to do any home repair, which was good. But I was a little sore. And then we played flag football on Thursday morning. I was the quarterback, so I didn't have to do too much. Four touchdowns, by the way. Winning team, let's go. But yeah, it was good. I didn't have to work on Thursday at Best Buy. And I got to hang out with family. And then on Friday, I worked all day at Best Buy, just helping customers and hanging out and selling stuff. It was good.
Nice. And I got two questions. When you fell, did you look like Mr. Doback on Step Brothers?
Dale Doback?
Yeah.
No, I didn't quite look like that. I wasn't as graceful.
And second thing, did you have your life alert?
I didn't need it because my wife was still home. She hadn't left for work yet. So my son starts crying. And I'm like, oh, that's so sweet. He's crying because daddy fell down the stairs. We have some Santa Clauses on the stairs. and I landed on one and squished it. And he was pissed off that I squished the Santa, which was perfectly fine afterwards.
That is
my
awesome.
Son's a dink. Nice job. Thanks, Lincoln. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right, John, how about you? Do you got a story to match that?
No, God, no. I know how to walk up and downstairs safely.
All right, that's good. Everybody, we need to start a GoFundMe for Doug for that automatic stair thing that kind of gets
that
you up.
That seat that rides you up.
Yeah.
Those things have weight limits. I don't know if I can handle it.
I mean, come on, you guys. Let's get
Some
Doug
people
one
have
of those.
Gold pants, Doug. You can have a gold
seat. Can it be like Gremlins and it shoots me out of the house?
Sorry, no. We can't get that high of a price.
Damn it.
All right, John, back to you. How was your Thanksgiving?
Oh, it was fine. We host my wife's family here. So we had a nice breakfast casserole in the morning, which was fantastic. Nope, we have breakfast casserole. And she likes to watch the parade, and it's hilarious because the kids were watching it, and my son asked, "When do you see all the floats?" And I said, "Oh, buddy, it's just a 3-hour commercial for TV shows and plays. You can see floats when they go to commercial and when they come back from commercial." I got a lot of dirty looks when I said it, but sure enough, then like the rest of the parade, of course, I made a point every time they went to commercial. I was like, "Look, buddy, there's a float." And then they come back. "Look, there's a float. All right, wait 5 minutes till they go back to commercial. You can see another float." I'm not a fan of the parade. Oh,
yeah,
and then we went to
one big advertisement.
Yeah. And then we go to my parents afterwards, which was fantastic because we just enjoy and play games and eat and do that the rest of the day. So that's a blast.
Nice.
Very, very nice. I'm happy you guys had a good Thanksgiving. Mine was good. I had two Thanksgivings. I had two meals. And my wife's aunt ended up choking on item of food. I had to give her the Heimlich, so that was something.
Get you lifesaver.
Yes, everything's good. Everything ended up great. So that was one of the Thanksgivings, but you know, we celebrated and everything was great after. She then thanked me with a bottle of Jameson, so that will be fun to drink now and then. I'm not a big drinker, but when I do, I drink hard. So
nice.
But I'm glad everybody had a good Thanksgiving, and hopefully everybody out there had a good one too. So let's move on to some football. Doug, let's start with you. What is your first take?
Oh, geez. First take. I know Julio Jones had a really monster game today, as a lot of people predicted. I'm going to sell Julio Jones as fast as I possibly can. You know, this is the anomaly game that he usually has once a year where he gets like 200 plus yards, a couple touchdowns, and everybody wants to fall in love with Julio again. And they quickly forget the struggles that he's had all season long getting in the end zone. My comp for Julio Jones for a while has been Andre Johnson, a player that gets a lot of receptions and a lot of yards, but never scores more than 10 touchdowns in a season. For a player as awesome as Julio Jones is, I expect more from him. I think he's getting towards not necessarily the back nine of his career, but he's definitely aging. And I think that, you know, when a player like this has a big game, I would just sell Julio Jones right now. I don't think you can trust him going forward as a week in and week out type of player that you want to have on your team. He's been a boom or bust, I think, for me, for the most part. I've had him in a couple of leagues and he's been very frustrating. So if you can turn around and sell Julio at the high point, I think you got to go ahead and do it.
Yeah. I mean, I love Julio, and I would probably have to say I would never let him go. I would not let him go and drown in the cold ocean by the Titanic. I would save a spot for him. Actually, I would probably jump in the water myself and save him. But
you'd find a door big enough for the two of you?
Yes. And I think that door she was on, to be honest, would be big enough for both of us.
I think they proved it like mathematically that there was enough room for her and Leo on that door.
I mean, well, let's be honest. But yeah, I love me some Julio. But I do have to agree. There's always a couple big games every year from Julio. So I wouldn't be expecting another huge game from him. I know a friend of mine who I'm going against, literally half his points were from Julio on the week that I play Julio. So thank you, Julio, for all your support that I have given you. You have destroyed my playoff hopes. So that's great.
just a reminder, Julio does get that same Buccaneers team in what will probably be the semifinals in many leagues this year. Just a note.
They'll adjust.
Will they, though?
Probably
they're suddenly going to get new players. And
that would be part of my sales pitch.
Yeah,
and by the way, you're getting Julio off a big game. You're in the playoffs. He faces this team again in a few weeks. Like, you got to buy him, right? That would be my hard sell to somebody.
Yeah, that's true. A competing team, I'm not getting rid of him. If I'm a competing team, I'd love to buy him. I can see your merit if you're, you know, building for next year. That this is definitely the right time to sell. His playoff schedule is Saints, Buccaneers, right. Saints. Like, that is super appealing as a buyer if you're trying to go ahead. So,
I mean, let's be honest. Who in the world is the scheduling coordinator? You look at the Patriots schedule, and don't they get like Miami again?
That's how a lot of these.
They get Buffalo twice, and they get Miami again at the end of. It's ridiculous. I don't like the whole. This happened last year with Tampa. Face the Saints, I think, in like 2 out of 3 weeks at the end of the season.
Yeah, it's a bit ridiculous. But
they set up division matchups so that they have big games going down the stretch.
Yeah.
I want to piggyback off that. Since I really don't have any takes, I'm going to kind of do this the whole episode. Mohamed Sanu, I got to tell you, looks like a different player this year to me. He looks like a poor man's Anquan Boldin. I know we do this comp all the time, but he's a big guy, kind of a possession receiver. He looks like what they had with Roddy White, but maybe not as dynamic as him. Do you guys understand what I'm going here?
He's more of a possession receiver than Roddy White was, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love what they are kind of doing with him this year. And he threw a touchdown. Did you see
that was a dime.
Did you see his quarterback passer rating? Perfect. He's 6 for 6, 3 touchdowns, like 100 something yards. Maybe quarterback needy teams should just go for him. I know, John. I'm kidding.
Be like, but the great Wildcat quarterback.
Yeah, going back to what's his name, Ronnie Brown.
Okay, yeah, him and Ronnie Brown was like the first one to really do it, and it was against New England because it was when he was with Miami.
Yeah, but yeah, I love me some Mohamed Sanu, and I still think he is dirt cheap right now. I mean, he's an add-on for trades. I like Mohamed Sanu. I know John. He was in Cincy. Are you seeing a different player than you did at Cincinnati?
You can go back and listen to a couple of shows ago. I think I said goodbye to Mohamed Sanu a couple of weeks ago.
And Marvin Jones.
I was a pretty big fan of him. So, yeah, I mean, this is the guy that he was in Cincinnati as well. He just wanted way more money than Cincinnati ever pays
anybody.
Keep guys. So, you know, that's why he left. He was a good player when he was here, and he's still a solid player. I like him. He is always cheap. He's a guy that you can definitely add for real cheap, I think. So, yeah, I'm on board with that.
Yep. So if you have a playoff team and you need somebody to kind of push you, that is a guy to go after. All right, John, we'll stay with you. What is your take?
My take is Joe Mixon finally did it.
Yay!
The Bengals just they finally gave him the ball. He finally had his week. Was he the last rookie running back to really have his day? Finally, is there any rookie running back that you guys took in the first round that you're unhappy with at this point?
No, I mean, Samaje has been over 100 yards 2 straight games now. Mixon was probably the last one that hasn't had a big game.
Marlon Mack, but he had a big game. So.
Jamal Williams looks good tonight. Marlon Mack, you're right. He's probably the only one.
He had a gross
That's good God. They still have freaking Frank Gore. Still doing it. This is going to be the last year, though.
The Twinkie of the NFL.
The Satchel Paige of the NFL.
I was going to say the Twinkie of the NFL.
I call him the fantasy cockroach. That's what I've called him.
Nice.
Like, you can't kill him.
Yeah. Same with Twinkies. I mean, you put a cockroach in a Twinkie, that is borderline superhuman.
That's like Wally right there in the movie.
Yeah. Nice. That's for you kids.
That's right. And adults that watch all those damn kids movies.
Yes, I love them. Can't get enough of him.
Wally's phenomenal, by the way.
It is. All right, so John, you had Mixon. Let's see, can I piggyback off this? Let's go Tyler Boyd. He scored a touchdown.
He's finally active again.
Yeah, but he has that, what is it, the DUI or possession charge or something like that. He's got something in the background going on. So I would still kind of avoid him, but it's good to see him going. I loved him coming out as a rookie last year, but yeah, I think this is kind of what he is, a guy like a Tyrell Williams style where you can't start or you can't start him. And if you do, you're putting it on a hope and a prayer. So
yeah, right, it was nice to see Tyrell Williams score on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, man, he is fast. Holy cow. He can get going.
Yeah, and I love to piggyback on that. I love the rise of Keenan Allen, by the way.
Oh, me too.
Let's not forget about Keenan Allen. I know Thanksgiving was a few days ago, but whew, yeah, I talked him up on our Trophy Time pod a few weeks ago. It was a guy that you want to trade for in redraft because his value was so low. And it's the same thing holds true for Dynasty, but I don't think most people were selling him.
Yeah,
he's still a target hog, young receiver. Yeah, but I'm really happy with what Keenan Allen's been doing. My thing is, I don't know if you guys are worried at all if you own Kareem Hunt or Leonard Fournette anywhere. Kareem Hunt, he hasn't scored since week three now. He didn't look all that great today. The Kansas City Chiefs as a whole, man, that team went from the highest of highs, and now they're at the lowest of lows. And Alex Smith has completely regressed back to Alex Smith. Believe it or not, right? So it's crazy that the Chiefs offense has gone from one of the best in the league to really, really struggling week in and week out now. So if I'm a Kareem Hunt owner, which I'm not, because I didn't really, when I saw Kareem Hunt's tape and in the draft process, he wasn't someone that really popped out to me. I know some people love Kareem Hunt in the process and some people didn't. He's a very polarizing player. And obviously he comes onto the scene. He has an amazing first 5 weeks. He's a record setter, you know, going over 100 yards from scrimmage. Where'd that guy go? Is it the rookie wall? Is it the scheme? Is it Andy Reid? Like, what's your take on Kareem Hunt? And is it someone that you think you can trust going forward? Because to me, he's looking more and more like, I don't want to say a Jag because I think he's better than a Jag. But what are we thinking going forward with Hunt? And with Fournette, I'm a little worried too, to be completely honest.
His ankle, could that be kind of the type of injury that sticks with him for his career? It kind of bothers him, you know, week six rolls around next year and all of a sudden this ankle flares up. And we all saw 2015 Fournette compared to 2016 Fournette with that ankle.
When he was banged up.
Yeah. And he's a different player. With Kareem Hunt, I've got two answers, and it is Andy Reid not being sensible, and it is that offensive line not playing to the fullest. I know they're a little banged up, the offensive line. They finally kind of got healthy, but they're not playing like they did week one through five. They're struggling as well. And a lot of week one through five, they had Sherman, the fullback. They had him in a lot, and they had more of a power running scheme running behind that fullback. I'm not seeing that a lot. I'm seeing more of these trickery type plays. I mean, they had that a lot week one through five, but they also put Kareem Hunt in the position to succeed. They gave him 20 carries or more. They gave him five catches. They're not giving them that opportunity. And you hear in the game today, Andy Reid talking about how it was his fault, how he's not getting Kareem Hunt the ball more, how he's not giving him a chance to succeed. Well, apology not accepted, Andy.
It's been a few weeks now.
Yeah, I mean, you keep saying you got to change it. It's obvious you need to change it. And I mean, he got better. Kareem Hunt, week one through five, second half, explosion. Kareem Hunt explodes in the second half. Right now, Kareem Hunt, no touches in the second half. They're not giving him.
And these have been really close games the last couple weeks too. So it's really puzzling. Like in a close game, why you wouldn't be? I mean, with a struggling quarterback, why wouldn't you try to establish the run more and get the ball into Kareem Hunt's hands? To me, that's probably the most puzzling part of it all.
Yeah, and I think trying to get Tyreek Hill the ball more than you need to, I think that was an issue. I think not getting Travis Kelce more targets was an issue.
Yeah.
I mean, their game plan is not looking good and they need to do something. And I honestly think, I know it's kind of crazy, but Pat Mahomes can give this team a different energy. I mean, Alex Smith, you kind of know what you're gonna have with him, what you're gonna roll out. But I mean, you throw out Pat Mahomes, it's a different ball game. He can do anything. And I think he helps the running game. I think he helps out the offensive line. I think he helps out the receivers. And I think the only person it kind of hurts is Kelce, because Alex Smith loves Kelce. I do think he hurts him a little bit. But I do think Mahomes has the ability to get the ball in the middle of the field. But man, I know they said they're not going to do that this year, but I think they need to actually think about trying it, because they're 6-5 right now, and that is not going to win your division.
It's it might. Yeah, yeah.
Their division is awful.
As much as I think Mahomes would make an improvement in the offense, I just don't think that a veteran coach is going to remove a veteran quarterback even for a rookie at this point. I mean, it's not a Buffalo Bills situation. I don't think we can see that type of idiocy twice in the same season.
Yeah, I don't think there's any way Andy Reid makes that switch. No. I mean, it's nice to have Mahomes in your back pocket for next year if you're looking for a guy that, you know, maybe you should.
If they trade Alex Smith.
Yeah, I mean, that's all well and good, but I don't see it this year, not even a little bit. It's probably the time to buy Mahomes, because hopefully next year they will.
You know, if you're trying to read the tea leaves, absolutely.
But you asked about Hunt. I'm still a buyer on Hunt. I would love to try and buy him right now. I think now is the time to try and buy him, because it does look like all of a sudden he's lost a step, and he is, you know, just a late first round pick that, you know, everybody was all of a sudden stoked that they had him, and he was three firsts and all that. Maybe you could get him now for, you know, a reasonable price, the price that he actually probably should have been all along.
Yeah.
But I'm curious, what running back do you guys like the most out of the class right now? Who would be your, when you're going into a 2018 startup running back from the 2017 class, who's the one that you're targeting?
Kamara or Cook?
Kamara.
I would have to say Cook.
Yeah, it's close for me too, Tyler, because I'm a huge Cook guy, just like you. But Kamara is just on another planet right now.
Yeah, and I hope they keep Ingram. And I know I saw in the game today that Ingram has a clause in his contract where he can actually become a free agent if he is a first team all pro, which could actually happen, and I think will.
Unless Kamara beats him to it.
Yeah, that could actually happen. But I do hope Ingram stays, because I think they work well together, kind of like Coleman and Freeman. Mm-hmm. I think those two need each other to succeed. But I think Dalvin Cook is just I think Dalvin Cook would be maybe the rushing leader if still healthy. I mean, you see what Latavius is doing. You see what McKinnon is doing. Dalvin Cook is way better than them. And I do think Dalvin Cook would be the rushing leader at the moment if healthy. That's a frustrating thing to think about.
I mean, this class has just been insane. I know after the combine, everybody was down on these running backs, except for the people that like Tyler and I with Dalvin Cook. I'm like, I don't care if he runs a 7.273 cone. Like, have you watched the game film from Florida State against top 25 competition? Like, you could see it. It's there. And man, this class has been an absolute home run. You've got guys that you wouldn't even think would contribute in year one that have been. I mean, just a little bit. I mean, Elijah McGuire, Marlon Mack. It goes pretty deep. Deonta Foreman. It goes deep with the amount of running backs in this class.
Tariq Cohen. Corey Clement. Yeah,
that have contributed. It's crazy.
Corey Clement.
Yeah.
Oh. Hey.
Got it in. Tyler got it in.
Wayne Gallman's even seen run.
Oh,
oh my. Oh. We're not going there.
Oh, my appendix just like ruptured.
All right. So I'll move on to my next point. You mentioned Ingram's contract. That's kind of my next point. Is there's two wide receivers that we've talked a lot about where they could be next year, Alshon and Sammy. I'm beginning to kind of wonder, based on the last few weeks, if they both just stay put. I mean, they'll both be free agents, could go anywhere of their choice, but they're both on winning teams right now, and they are, you know, they might not be the number one priority guy on the team, but
Jeffrey's having a nice season.
Yeah, there's a part of me that starts to wonder, you know, if they actually have success, maybe they just start having fun playing football, winning, and they stay put, which that's probably not really what I want for Sammy. I want him going somewhere where he is the only focus.
Yeah.
But he's never, I mean, he seems to be usable, at least in LA. I know he had some bad games, but I think lately he's been an effective starter if you've played him every week.
I would not be surprised if you see a lot of these big name wideouts sign 1 year deals, a lot like Jeffrey and Terrell Pryor did this year, because the free agent class in 2018 for wide receiver is going to be pretty darn deep. So I wouldn't be surprised to see some of that value from a long-term contract standpoint just not be there for some players like it was for an Alshon this year. And they signed a one-year deal. So, yeah, I could totally see Alshon going back to Philadelphia. Yeah, I don't know if it would be long-term per se. And then Sammy going back to the Rams. I actually kind of want Sammy to move on because I want Josh Reynolds to be a thing. Because I like him a lot out of Texas A&M. He had a touchdown today filling in for Robert Woods. He hurt his ankle late in the game when he kind of slipped on the awful turf there in Los Angeles. But I would really love Josh Reynolds to be a thing in for the Rams. But if Sammy came back, that wouldn't surprise me. I mean, that's an offense on the rise. And if they're gonna give him decent money compared to some of these other teams, my only concern is that someone's gonna see Sammy Watkins' skill level and just throw cash at them. That one of these teams, like a San Francisco, is like, hey, we got Jimmy Garoppolo. We want to add weapons around Garoppolo.
He doesn't need to move far.
Nope.
No.
I mean, I want him to go somewhere and be that feature, but there is a part of me that's after the last few weeks, it just seems like he is a really good fit in that offense.
Yep.
Performing the function that he is performing, and it makes that offense.
Does he have that diva mentality where he wants to be the guy?
I don't know if he does. And I
don't know,
John. I'm actually with you. I thought about that today too, and I watched the game today, and he just looks like he's having fun. That whole team looks like they're just enjoying.
Unlike Devontae Parker.
Yeah. But no, Sammy looks like, you know, he's growing his hair out, letting his hair down, just enjoying life in LA. I mean, who wouldn't want to be in LA with Jared Hasselhoff just slinging the ball? I absolutely love that fit for him. I hope he stays because I want that offense to kind of stay put. I think that whole offense is just so fun to watch. McVay, coach of the year. Easily. If not for Zimmer,
Doug Peterson.
Yeah, Doug Peterson. But
everyone forgets about the greatest coach of all time. It's okay.
He's off running some evil empire.
The next Death Star.
But going back to the free agent receivers, quick, I want to piggyback off that. I do think Allen Robinson will be the one to actually move. I think he wants to go away from what Jacksonville's doing, and I think he will end up in San Fran. Say Sammy stays. Alshon, I think he could be like a three-year type deal, type of guy in Philly. But I think Allen Robinson will be a guy to move on, and I could see Green Bay, San Fran. I think he could end up in a nice spot if you can go out and buy Allen Robinson. I know I sold him in a Devy League for a couple picks just because I'm a complete trash heap, and it was a dispersal team, so I kind of needed
and
to.
And you are tinkering Tyler.
I am tinkering to. That's a great name.
God, I can't wait. I can't wait for the off season already. This is terrible. Like, we're right now getting ready to enter the playoffs, and I can't wait for the off season. I'm going to enjoy the playoffs, but
that's why we love our dynasty.
It is something.
All right, Doug.
I think it's an off season. It's great.
You are up next.
Yeah. So one of my observations for this week is the tight end position is the ugliest girl in the room. It is the ugliest position in all of fantasy football. I mean, outside of Gronk and Ertz today, I mean, all your big name tight ends, your Greg Olsons, your Travis Kelce's, like no one, Jared Cook had one catch. Vernon Davis, I mean, I know he's not a big name, but he had a good matchup, 0 points on Thanksgiving. Tight end is gross. And this is what makes Ricky Seals-Jones appealing to me because he had a touchdown again this week, 4 for 72. When it happens 2 games in a row, it's part of a trend. And I know that Arizona is typically an offense that did not feature or use the tight end whatsoever. I mean, Jermaine Gresham blocks most of the time, and he gets the occasional touchdown here and there. But Ricky Seals-Jones, converted receiver from a big program, he's looking the part. Could he be a dynasty gem that you found late in the season that is actually a decent play? What do you guys think?
He's a five-star recruit guy, big-time talent. Kind of fell off his, I want to say, senior season or junior. And yeah, did the position switch. Yeah. I think he comes in at like 240 at 6'6", 6'5", 6'6".
Big boy.
Yeah, big, big boy. But yeah, I think he's a guy that could be a better pro than he was a better college person. He's in the right place to learn from Larry. Who better to learn that kind of slot position, because I've never seen Ricky Seals-Jones line up. Not online.
Learning from Troy Nicholas.
Go Notre Dame, woo. No, no. He's learning from Larry, kind of the ins and out of that inside the hash place. But man, he's opening some eyes, and I think the Devy community. I'm not quite sure, but I'm pretty sure a lot of them dropped Ricky Seals-Jones just because he wasn't drafted. He got picked up, was on the practice squad. Then all of a sudden, boom, 3 touchdowns in 2 weeks.
I picked him up last week in our deep roster dynasty league, just kind of like it's tight end premium. So I was like, I have all this fab left over. Like, all right, I'll pick up Ricky Seals-Jones. You never know. And I didn't start him this week. Shame on me. I started Greg Olsen instead. That worked out well.
Are you going to feel comfortable starting him next week or the week after that or the week after that, Doug?
I'll tell you what. If Greg Olsen misses the rest of the year, it's either him or CJ Fedorowicz. YOLO, log out, because that's all I got for the tight end.
Yeah.
I have Njoku who actually had an okay game today.
Yeah.
No, I think I'd play Njoku. I'd feel more comfortable there, I think.
Especially once Josh Gordon comes back next week, boys. Oh. Let's go, all the Njoku.
Mouth watering right now. But no, going back to the ugliest girl in the bar type situation. Literally, tight end is where you just have to get trashed and just pick one. Like,
if you get 8 points out of your tight end in a standard league, then that's a pretty good
one. Jumping up and down, happy as can be.
That's so bad.
All right, John, let's get some more takes in.
All right, so I don't know if you guys saw the pregame of the Cleveland Browns and the Bengals. But there was an interesting conversation. They say it was just about the Iron Bowl.
Oh, God.
But, of course, Hugh Jackson and the Browns owner just have to go and talk to A.J. McCarron. They had an extended conversation. How many owners talk to backup quarterbacks on another team?
I've ever seen that happen.
They said it was just about the Iron Bowl. I'm sure that's what the talk was about.
Yep.
They all had their stories straight to a T. But, like, that's just – oh, my God.
Have you ever felt bad for a person in the NFL?
He's got to have such insecurity about his job. I mean, the reason every time he gets hit and he has a concussion, he's probably like, nope, put me back on the field. Like, I can't not play because I have got to be out there. I have to show something so that some other team picks me up next year. I mean, it's awful. There is no way. They have him back next year.
The sad part is Kaiser is playing really good football right now with Corey Coleman. It's weird. You give a talented quarterback some weapons in Corey Coleman and Josh Gordon next week. Holy cow. He can actually produce. What? Are you kidding? I don't. It just frustrates me how somebody can treat a quarterback and your own quarterback that you're trying to work with this whole offseason, like, oh, this is a guy that I need to work on, spent time with him. Then all of a sudden it's like, nope, I'm done with you. And he didn't do anything wrong. Like, he's a rookie, but man.
He's a young rookie, like super young, to the point where his college coach bashed him, saying he's not ready for the NFL. So yeah. the Browns knew that going into it, and they've still just, I have no confidence he will be back in Cleveland. I hope he's not. I actually hope for Kaiser's sake, he goes somewhere and they actually try to groom him. I'd rather see him as a backup to a good quarterback somewhere for 2-3 years. I don't care. Be there, learn the position, and then be ready to play in a couple of years. Because Cleveland is, maybe it was just about the Iron Bowl and it's all just coincidence, but
it just looks
bad. Even if they should be aware enough of what the appearance of that was going to be to avoid it for the sake of their current quarterback, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, and the fact that even if they're not aware, which maybe that's the case, or they're aware and they just didn't give a damn, which that's just bad. So I have no confidence in Kaiser next year being a starting quarterback anywhere.
That's so sad. Come on.
I think Kaiser starts to light it up.
Oh, me too, especially with the weapons. Yep. And he's kind of got that YOLO mentality now. Like, just go be you.
Oh,
just
he's a total deep back there. He just throws it deep. I love it.
He has zero to lose at this point.
Yep. And I think he's going to just destroy from here on out. Not winning games, but in fantasy, I think he's going to be a borderline quarterback one. with his rushing ability.
He could have a Blake Bortles type 2015 that Bortles had that really good year? Yeah. I know a lot of it was garbage time, but those points, they still count.
People don't forget.
People don't forget. So. All
right, Doug, I think we got time for a couple more. So
yeah, I'll lump these in together. These are my last two. So watching a lot of the Eagles game today, I am just so frustrated with how they fail to use JHI. I know he had that nice run down the sideline, and then he fumbled, and Nelson Aguilar owners are like, oh, he just fell on a touchdown. Awesome. That almost boned me in one league, but Antonio Brown, he got my back. So, yeah, it's very frustrating with Philadelphia. So if you own JHI in Dynasty, you got LeGarrette Blunt there. You got Corey Clement. I guess
Who was that last one?
Corey Clement. I said it. That's right. I know it hurts me. But he's looked good, man. I've been saying it since the first couple weeks. He's looked like a different player. So congrats.
Yeah.
He hit that one out of the park. But JHI for me is someone that you can't trust right now, and I wouldn't start him. But I think he's a good hold. LeGarrette Blunt is only there for 1 year. He's on a veteran minimum deal. So I don't think they bring him back next year. And I think that JHI this year probably isn't his year, but next year for Philadelphia, I think he takes over. So I think he's definitely a hold for me, but I wouldn't trust starting him the rest of the season. And I just wanted to give a shout out to Tevin Coleman, looking like an absolute boss the last couple of weeks with Devonta Freeman out. It looks like Freeman's probably going to be back next week. He's been out for 2 weeks with a concussion. But Tevin Coleman has looked the part of a feature back, and he's looked pretty good doing it. So you're an Atlanta Falcons fan, Tyler. Give me your scoop on Tevin Coleman.
I think that, like I said earlier, those two kind of piggyback off each other. I think they work well together. And if one goes out, the other is a top 10 running back. I mean, Devonta Freeman, I think, is without Coleman, but I think Coleman without Freeman is a top 10. I think Coleman leaves after next year, or could be in the kind of in the trade talks during the offseason for teams. Kind of maybe San Fran, say Kyle Shanahan wants his boy back. Maybe, Carlos Hyde is gone. They could call up Atlanta and be like, hey, what would it take for Tevin Coleman? Because I do think Tevin Coleman in that offense for Atlanta could be a little replaceable. He gets 9 touches a game. Mm-hmm. Freeman gets about 15 to 18.
He's deep running back class.
Yeah, I think that's a possibility. And Shanahan could get the guy that they drafted. I mean, Shanahan's the one that drafted Tevin Coleman. So that could be something we could see, because maybe Atlanta's like, we're not going to sign him. Might as well get something out of it. You know, thank you for what you've done. Go. Yeah. But yeah, I would actually love to see that happen, because I think Tevin Coleman could be a very good running back two, running back one for your fantasy teams in the future if he was the guy.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. He's definitely looked the part. I'm sold.
All right, John, I will give you one more quick one, then we will wrap up.
All right, one more quick one. Let's see. I'm going to put two guys together that I think if you are contending and you can buy a guy cheap right now, you should buy these two. And if you're not, you should sell them and get what you can right now, because they're going to be dead at the end of the year. So in Superflex, go get Josh McCown now. Like, at this point, he's got value. People should have already known that. But if you're in the playoff contention, buy him now. He's going to be dead at the end of the year. So sell him if you can.
Literally, I hope not. But he's at that age where he should actually start worrying.
Yeah. All right, fine. He's going to be valueless, I would say.
At the end of the year. Right word.
Yes. All right. And Marshawn Lynch as well. Like, down the stretch, if all of a sudden the Raiders are going to have a chance at the division, yeah, maybe he gets a little perked up. He looked a little on fire today after that.
My favorite part was how he walked Aqib Talib out.
He escorted him out.
Yeah.
My favorite part was that he didn't touch an official during the fight. That was actually my favorite part.
But so Gabe Jackson did.
He's showing personal growth. He's learning from previous mistakes. No, I mean, I don't think he's anything going forward in future years. But just going down the stretch, if you can buy him now, he's probably going to be available pretty cheap if he's on a bad team. So get him now. And if you have a bad team, don't just let him go valueless on your roster. Sell him for whatever you can. Same with McCown. Find somebody that needs a quarterback. Find somebody that has Dak that's been pretty crappy the last couple of weeks, and say, hey, you know, if you'd have played McCown, you probably would have gotten a lot more points.
I started Ryan Fitzpatrick over Dak Prescott this week in a Dynasty League.
Oh, I wish I would have started him over Dak. I still started him. and I'm regretting starting him.
All right, on that take, one last for me. Go buy AJ McCarron because he will have a job next year in Cleveland.
Yes, I don't know if it'll be in Cleveland. Hugh Jackson might not be there,
but he will have a job most certainly. According to tea leaves, he has a job for sure. 2018, but yeah, that will wrap it up.
I'll tell you what. I think AJ McCarron has. What was the guy? Who was the Bears starting quarterback at the beginning of the year? What was that guy's name?
Mike Glennon.
Yep, that's it. At least, okay, so we at least remember his name still. I think AJ McCarron has Mike Glennon written all over him.
Oh, man. I could see that. Except I think AJ McCarron is actually a competent quarterback. But that will wrap it up for this week, week 12. Everyone, thanks for listening. Remember, this coming Saturday, come join Scott Fish, John Paul Hurley, Izzy Elkfast, and a ton more. People from Fanball up here in Minneapolis. We got Brandon Peeney. Tons and tons of people are going to be there. Come up to Union 32 Craft House in Minneapolis. You can come meet all the fantasy industry Minnesota people. I think Nick Whalen might even come over from Wisconsin. You never know. Oh, you might be able to get him. But yeah, it's going to be a fun time. Come meet us. Come see us in our natural environment. So that will do it for this week. And thanks again for listening, everybody. And we'll see you all next week.
That's all the time we have today for the Dynasty Happy Hour. If you're looking for more fantasy football advice, be sure and follow the guys on Twitter. Find Tyler at @DHH_Tyler. Follow Doug at @TheFantasyFather. And finally, John at @EmpireFFL. Follow us on Twitter at @DynastyHHPod. Music is brought to you by the fantasy hitman, Mike Wright. We'll catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour.